You need to also make sure that you know what a particular career demands. If you're methodical, meticulous, and reliable, you may do well as an accountant, of course. But you may also need to be adaptable and confident to deal with the customers. If by now, if you've succeeded in choosing the next wonderful job you plan to have, then you first need to understand what skills, qualities, abilities the job requires. Match those skills, qualities, and abilities with your own. Prepare examples of how, when, and where you have demonstrated them in the past. How, when, and where. Present those skills, abilities, qualities clearly and confidently, both in writing and in person at the interview. For example, if you say you have leadership skills, let's say give an example. Give an effective example. If ideally they say that, what are the traits you possess as an individual? Say, I have the dedication and commitment towards work. Give an example, right? So you could probably say, though you're going through a personal crisis, you focused on work and achieved your goals in spite of that, because that is expected out of you. So being able to express this during an interview. Independence, freedom to work alone, make your own decisions, plan your own work. Very important, helping, advising, or caring for others in face-to-face work situations. Risk-taking, the sense of excitement, adventure, and challenge that comes from taking risks, whether personal, physical, or to an organization. One has to have the ability to take risks. Variety, change, and diversity in the work content, personal contacts, or location. Look at the values listed above. Make a note of the three values which are most like you and the two that are least like you. Right? We will discuss this in the upcoming slides. Prestige, the status, recognition, and importance of a job, either within your organization or that which is accorded by the general public. Leadership, work in close cooperation with others to achieve a common goal. Team membership, again, work in close cooperation with others. Advancement, promotion, career progression, upward mobility. Where do you see yourself? Material benefits, the financial or other material rewards that ensure a comfortable lifestyle. Security, stability of employment and assured salary. And artistic creativity, engage in creative work or in any art form. All right, skills, abilities your job requires. Most job seekers ideally need to focus on skills and values of the employers. What do we mean by that? That ideally, every employer is looking for a specific set of skills which your job requires. They ideally should match the skills which are needed to perform the job. Start by listing all the tasks your job involves. Then go through them and list the skills, knowledge, and abilities you use to accomplish each one. Include specific qualifications and training where appropriate. Skills required by three different jobs. So now we're giving you examples here required by three different jobs. First and foremost, for a teacher. Of course, the person has to be good at teaching. When we say good at teaching, that means instructing, making presentations, how the person is putting it forward. Then ideally, you have to say they also have to have good listening skills. That means being an active listener to understand the problems a pupil may be having. I guess being an active listener is one of the most crucial aspects for effective teaching. They need to be able to analyze, for example, the reasons why a potentially bright student is not making progress, to have good writing skills, and be able to plan the next term's work. So I guess when you talk of someone in the field of teaching, firstly, ability to instruct. When I have the ability to instruct, it means others will be able to understand what I'm saying. How does that happen? That happens because when I'm instructing, I instruct in a manner whereby, whatever the age of the student, each student understands what is explained, whether it's a case study, whether it's an example, or whether it's giving information, it is easily absorbed by the student. bank managers. They also need good writing skills. Definitely a bank manager would need good writing skills. For example, when drafting a letter to reply to the complaint of a customer. Say a customer has complained against the rude behavior of the cashier. When the bank manager replies, first and foremost, it is said that the bank manager should avoid using negations. What are negations? Can't, cannot, will, won't, haven't, have not. So, even if you reply, avoid using negations. What is the purpose of avoiding negations? Ideally, it is written more in the affirmative. And ideally, it is setting an example that you can write a sentence in the affirmative. For example, please do not deliver the goods tomorrow. Now, here is a negation, not. How do I write this sentence without a negation? Can you deliver the goods day after tomorrow? So what have we done? We've removed the negation. It means the same. It's only that we have changed our writing. That means our writing in the sense we've removed the negation. They need to be good listeners to be able to sort the wheat from the chaff when a customer is asking for a large loan. When a customer is asking for a large loan, what do they have to do? They have to figure out that, okay, what are the terms and conditions? We need to figure out that, okay, are all the papers in order by the customer? Then ideally we can grant him the loan. They have to be persuasive when trying to persuade a local company to bank with them rather than a competitor bank, and to be able to both direct and cooperate with their staff. They need to be good at analyzing information and making decisions. As above, deciding whether or not to make or give a loan. And of course, they need to be numerate, but basic maths is probably sufficient here. Numerate is basically, you know, maths in terms of multiplication, addition, subtraction. But as much as they're saying basic maths is sufficient here, we assume that more or less someone who's in a bank should be appropriate with calculations. Chartered accountants, they must be logical. They must be able to research when they prepare an audit account, as well as being good at questioning and advising clients when they provide a consultancy service. They can counter question the client depending on what the client is expecting from him in terms of a chartered accountant. For example, a client is saying that let us invest it in this manner. And the chartered accountant will say, if you invest in this manner, you will gain tax-free bonds. So ideally, what are you doing? You're not paying tax out there. So you will gain on these bonds. Whereas if you invest there, it is going to be a bit different in terms of the taxes which you pay. They should also have strong numeracy, decision-making, planning and oral communication skills. Very important. While being socially confident and able to persuade and negotiate with their clients, they must also be good at listening to what others have to say. I guess when you talk of someone in the bank, when you talk of someone who's a teacher, when you talk of someone who's ideally a chartered accountant, I guess all these professions are such that effective listening is crucial, because they first need to listen and then take a course of action. They first need to listen, then suggest or advise. They first need to listen and then ideally convince or say something which may be effective for the listener. So far, we have a clear picture, or we have a clear picture as to what are the job skills relationships. Clear picture. However, for the job chosen by you, greater mapping is necessary. Let us take a case of someone who wanted to go for a simple job of a personal assistant. The advertisement for this job would run more or less like the one appearing next. Now we're giving an example here for the job of a personal assistant. So now we talk of the requirement for a personal assistant. A small city-based environmental charity requires an experienced, mature assistant to provide administrative and secretarial support. When we focus on the term mature assistant, what does it ideally mean? It means that first and foremost, the person has the ability, skill and knack to deal with one and all in terms of effective communication and interaction. The person also ideally should have a level of understanding and be patient enough to deal with people from all walks of life. Must have excellent organizational ability and keyboard skills. So when we talk of keyboard skills, it also means being effective as far as technology is concerned. Good communication skills and telephone manner is essential, as well as will be dealing with inquiries from the public. Telephone etiquette. Etiquette, E-T-I-Q-U-E-T-T-E. Etiquette, manners. When we talk of telephone etiquette, first and foremost, speaking in an appropriate manner as far as the tone is concerned. When there's telephonic conversation, the person is ideally not there in front of you. So most important is an effective tone, the ability to greet the person. Your level of enthusiasm can be expressed very clearly as far as telephonic conversation goes on. So it is extremely important that you greet the person and are appropriate in terms of being concise with the information put forward. Knowledge of bookkeeping and familiarity with spreadsheets would be an advantage, but training will be provided. Bookkeeping. You ideally term bookkeeping as one aspect of, you can say probably recording, analyzing and interpreting financial transactions. When we talk of spreadsheets, say a small business owner, he can keep track of the sent and received and pending invoices on a spreadsheet. So what ideally happens out here when you have sent, received and you're having the pending invoices, it means that he can calculate the payments that can be outstanding. Understanding of the environmental issues desirable. That means they're saying a small city-based environmental charity. So need to be having knowledge on that front. Must be able to work on own initiative without supervising. Here we can say understanding of the environmental issues can be desirable because we are expecting it. So we can put forward the words can be. Now, ideally when you talk of skills, it is obvious that they want administrative and secretarial experience. That means the responsibilities within the department, for example. It could also mean organization or involvement in planning. Then it means computer skills, being tech savvy, or at least having a basic access to Word documents, Excel sheet. So being able to do certain work on the computer. Maturity, either in age or attitude. Yes, very important. We would say attitude per se, age of course, but growing wise is optional, right? We may advance in age, but the ability to have that kind of attitude where you can deal with people is a very important skill. The ability to organize, being systematic and structured, good communication skills, where I communicate effectively with my co-workers, subordinates and people at top management, and confident telephone manner, yes. Very appropriate as far as communicating via telephone is concerned, which we just discussed. Ability to work on own initiative without supervision. This also shows that the person will have that level of independence and the person is not very dependent every time as far as wanting information or even taking decisions is concerned. Familiarity with spreadsheets. I just give you an example of spreadsheets in the previous slide. Experience of dealing with the public. What is most important when I'm dealing with the public? The ability to build mutual trust and understanding. What is most important when I'm dealing with the public? I should be able to have the ability to empathize, putting myself in the other person's shoes. What is most important when I say ability to deal with the public? Being an active listener. And thus, when I have these traits, it gets easier to deal with the public. It gets easier in terms of effective interaction. It gets easier in terms of probably seeing that things are going in an appropriate or an organized manner so that the output is all what we expect. understanding of and sympathy with environmental issues, the ability to keep yourself updated with environmental issues. For example, you ideally have a factory and you realize that it is more in a residential area. People are far more concerned about the air pollution, the water pollution. What ideally can be done? So one aspect could be that a pollution unit meter could be installed so that the moment you realize that the pollution is going at a higher level, you are having to pay a penalty. But these are rules and regulations which have to be implemented. But what are we trying to say? That somewhere you realize that people in the vicinity are not happy because you are somewhere responsible for damaging the environment. So what can be done? So you need to have updated knowledge and information about the environment. From your own knowledge and experience of working for a small organization, for example, you can also summarize or you can surmise that they want someone who is dependable and supportive. Ideally, you are more like a backbone for the person. That means somewhere you are able to get things done, the ability to get tasks done. Willing to learn, they offer extra training if needed. You are ideally having a mindset which is not rigid. You're willing to get more creative. You're willing to learn much more than what you know. You're willing to have an open mind. That means more in terms of probably flexibility, right? Flexible and adaptable, as we said, when we talk of flexible and adaptable, what is the focus on? That ideally, flexibility is more to do with openness to new ideas and helpful. You are approachable. That is most important. Able to do routine office work efficiently, but able to cope with responsibility as and when the need arises? Yes, it's a responsibility and a commitment. You ideally have strong devotion to your work. Your level of commitment is extremely high, whereby you are not digressing. It also means you're committed to work. A good match of these requirements. Do not forget to dig through all your skills, abilities, and experience. That should put you on the interview for this job. That means through the interview, the moment you express your skills and abilities appropriately, it puts you ahead. So when we say start by listing all the tasks, your chosen job involves using the personal assistant example above. Then go through them, list the skills, knowledge, abilities to accomplish each one. Include specific qualifications and training where appropriate and your achievements too. When you say training, yes, you might be given training to improve on your skills. Think of this as thorough warming up exercise. Only the relevant parts are inserted into your final CV. That will be discussed in your job interview. We will discuss later about as far as CV resume is concerned. But thinking about what you do and the skills you use to do it will often uncover things you had not really thought about before. Most importantly, it provides a rich tapestry to pick up and choose from where, from when you match your skills to the requirements of the job you're trying for. So one side, this is a skill which you have. On the other side, this is the requirements which you have. So how do they fall in place? Now, when defining your key tasks, think about everything you have to deal with in your job, including the people. So clients and customers. When I say client, ideally, a client is ideally who comes back repeatedly, okay, for additional purposes and establishes long-term relation. Between client and customer, there's a fine line. Customer, they say, comes once in a while or comes once. That's the difference. Colleagues. A colleague is someone whom you work with at your organization. Some people come to work just ideally focus on work and go. The others come to build relations, have a rapport. So we assume that wherever you work, do not let status intervene as far as building relationships are concerned. It is ideally very important to break the rapport. supervisors and subordinates. When I talk of supervisors, one has to be extremely, efficient in terms of dealing with the people or his subordinates in the organization. When I talk of supervisors, they have to be emotionally balanced, not temperamental. When I have to talk of supervisors, what are the objectives and plans? That is most important. And when I talk of supervisors, they should display a positive attitude. That is most important. Now, when I talk of subordinates, ideally, what is important? That subordinates should not have perceptions which would probably bring a problem as far as work is concerned. For example, it is said that if a subordinate feels that his superior is not trustworthy, this would lead to employee disengagement. People would not focus on work. People would ideally find it difficult to get involved with work. Because if there's no trust, how will work go appropriate? When defining your key task, think about everything you have to deal with in your job. These are money and financial procedures. When I talk of money and financial procedures, every organization or most of the organizations have methods to track and detect money laundering, for example. So they have rules, policies, regulations, products and merchandise. I guess when you talk of products and merchandise, products is more the term used in the field of marketing. Merchandise is more the term used in the field of retail. Technical processes. When you talk of technical processes, what is the focus on? Ideally, the term technical means that you are focusing on specific skills as far as an individual is concerned. Skills along with capabilities. Procedures, ideas, facts and figures, communication, legal requirements. Procedures is how systematic one is, way of functioning, right? Ideas, again, probably you analyze a problem. So first you identify a problem, you analyze it, and then you come up with an effective solution. So when you get that effective solution, it's more an idea which comes to you to resolve this problem. And legal requirements, keeping yourself updated with the legal aspects as far as the situation is concerned. Think about all the activities you carry to fulfill each of these tasks, the skills and abilities you have developed along with the knowledge you have gained. What specific skills have you gained through training and what have you acquired through experience? Now, when you gain through training, it's also because maybe you have weaknesses in that area, in that field, or you're appropriate, but training will make you perfect. So here are the skills you ought to consider. First and foremost, technical skills, then is professional skills, communication skills, and IT skills. When we talk of technical skills, as we said, specific in relation to ideally your capabilities and your specific job. So someone in the field of IT. You talk of coding, for example, someone who's done MIS, Management Information Systems. So coding is one aspect. Analytics is another aspect. Then you talk of professional skills. What is the focus on when you talk of professional skills? Is it specific, that means to your job? Or is it specific or relevant in relation to your experience? Or is it specific, ideally, when you talk of being a professional, that means having the knowledge as well as the experience? Or sometimes people have more of experience and less academic knowledge. Communication, yes, the ability to take, be an effective decision maker, the ability to be goal driven, the ability to motivate, the ability to be dynamic in terms of convincing or persuading. And you talk of IT skills. So ideally being tech savvy. Now, here is what has to be considered as far as skills, knowledge and ability is concerned. Interpersonal and people skills. Your ability to deal effectively with co-workers, supervisors, subordinates, all of them. Creative talent. Yes, thinking out of the box, being effective in the way you display your talent. Problem solving and analytical abilities. When I say analytical abilities, that means streamlining complex tasks or procedures. That means how do I resolve a complex task and make it simpler? Now, knowledge of processes and procedures, industry knowledge, experience with specific situations and requirements. When I say processes and procedures, ideally, how is it in terms of functioning of an activity in an organization, the systematic structuring or functioning? Then I talk of industry knowledge. What do we mean by the term industry knowledge? When we ideally say industry knowledge, that means experience in relation to that particular field. So business ideally expects industrial experience from job seekers. What does it mean? It focuses on your capabilities. That means, for example, if you have worked 6 weeks in a hardware store, that is not industrial experience. That ideally is development experience, that you've just taken experience. When I say industrial experience, which means that you've spent a considerable amount of time working in a hardware store, which could be probably 3 years, 5 years. So you have that kind of knowledge, you have that kind of experience and that kind of capability. Qualifications and training. Consider everything that is relevant to the job you want to do. Do not stop at academic qualifications. Include all the vocational training you have had on the job training, short courses, evening classes, workshops, distance and correspondence courses, certification of prior learning, all of it. If it has increased your skills, abilities or knowledge, include it. If it means an outside body has passed you as competent to do something, include that. Why? Because that will show that you as a person have that ability and skill, and you ideally have got a certificate from an external body, which will make all the more a difference in your CV, because that means you're competent enough. List all your skills, knowledge, abilities, results and achievements. Think about the results of what you have done in each of these tasks and what you have achieved. Consider the positive effect you have had in your job, and including anything that might have, for example, increased profits, turnover, sales, efficiency, customer satisfaction, market opportunities. How and where are you responsible for increasing profits? When I talk of turnover, ideally it also means staff turnover or labor turnover. This would mean increase or decrease of employees. For example, now say in an organization, you realize that ideally there's high staff turnover. You realize that there's low productivity being the biggest indicator of job dissatisfaction. So what do you do to bring about a change in the environment? You realize that effective training is the need of the hour. You realize that bonding and cohesion with one and all is important. You realize that you should have ways and means to make the workplace a better place in terms of being a conducive environment. So, customer satisfaction, living up to the taste, preference, style of the customer. And unleash the potential in terms of market opportunities. What are the opportunities which are coming up, and how do you ideally deal with the opportunities to make maximum utilization of these opportunities? List your skills. Consider the positive effect you have had in your job and include anything that you might have decreased, such as staff turnover. So we give you an example, a risk. For example, you ideally identify a problem, okay, and you fixed it before it becomes a major problem. That means before it gets blown out of proportion. So you have minimized the risk there. Any complaints whereby you've handled it very precariously, then you talk of the time taken, always living up to deadlines, not ideally being slack as far as time is concerned, looking into the problems or if there's waste as far as raw materials is concerned. You're focusing on this and ideally seeing to it that there's optimum utilization of resources. Consider the positive effect you have had in your job and include anything that you might have improved, such as competitive advantage, right? Competitive advantage is the need of the hour today. I guess any organization in terms of product, service is going to face competition. How do you take it as a positive point and deal with it? appearance and marketability, organization, flow of information, which is extremely crucial to keep the people in the loop, staff performance, looking into ways and means and providing monetary incentives, non-monetary incentives, teamwork, getting people together to perform appropriately in a team where each member of the team feels that he or she is probably able to come up with effective solutions for any problem, or where he or she is putting in maximum so that the team ideally achieves whatever is expected out of them. Relationships, external or internal. How are they handled effectively? Relationships whereby the flow of communication is in a systematic manner. Relationships whereby people feel that sense of belongingness and can identify or relate to others within the organization. Do an honest self-assessment about your areas of strength in totality and the ones that seem to be most relevant for being able to perform the role well. It is important to carry an honest self-assessment of your strengths as well as your areas of opportunity or development, improvement, deficiency, whatever you may choose to call them. For example, if you're aware that you are a short-tempered person, now if that is your weakness, ideally, it would be difficult to hire a person who's got a short temper. So what do you say? Yes, I am short-tempered, but ideally, I've been doing meditation since the last few months and it definitely helps me keep calm. So you're looking into your weaknesses, you're identifying them, you're coming up with effective ways and means to resolve them so that they do not stay with you in the long run. If you get someone who knows you well to review with you your self-assessment quite dispassionately, it would become more accurate and realistic. And that would help you plan your strategy to face interviews, right? Someone who gives you a very clear-cut idea as to what needs to be done in terms of the changes as far as you are concerned. Someone who expresses views which ideally may not be appealing to you but are important for you to know in the long run. Those aspects ideally will help you definitely for the better. Here are some ways to assess your areas of strength. First of all, strength areas are things that you love to do. You naturally tend to gravitate towards them and like to learn more and more about them. Your positive points. For example, you're dedicated and committed to work. For example, you ideally are far too focused. You're willing to take up challenges at any point of time. That shows your dynamism as an individual. Strengths have relevance and the impact and have the impact not only in the professional sphere, but in the personal life too. For instance, if you are genuinely an empathetic listener, you will demonstrate that behavior naturally in any context with family, friends, neighbors, colleagues, clients, customers. So, ideally, what is important? You will realize that this is a trait which goes a long way. It's not only in your professional life, but also in your personal life.